welcome to episode 23 of Pennies in the Well. I'm your host, Saturn, and today is a Tuesday in the merry month of May. Happy Beltane to everyone in the Northern Hemisphere, and happy Samhain to everyone in the Southern. And holy crap, it's been ages since I've done this. It all feels a little strange. I just wanted to say sorry for having taken so long to get out a podcast. It's been a rough, you know, set of months, and I've talked about that before. Just as a quick update, I have had setbacks and I have had improvements, and I've had to change my recording style given that I hurt too much after the last time I recorded, which kind of put a damper on recording again. And I also wanted to say that given my limited condition still, it's never going to end. No, think positive. You know, they tell you to think positive and look on the bright side. And I will grant that there's a lot of power in that. And the power of our thoughts really does have impact. However, there are times when, no, it fucking sucks, man. It fucking sucks. This being broken shit sucks. And every now and again, the whole positive attitude crumbles and I just wallow. That would be last weekend. I had a setback and I wallowed, which is why this is coming out a week later than I had actually hoped for. Anyhow, please bear with me on the lack of editing because of the limited mobility, etc. Sitting and recording is about as much as I can handle. Sitting and then editing isn't going to happen. And working on a computer, if you're lying down with a laptop sitting on your chest, it is really difficult. So yeah, my apologies for the lack of editing. But thank you so much for downloading the show, for taking the chance, the risk of listening to the insanity that is I talking in the Pennies in the Well episode. But I'm trying to keep things down time-wise because I know that I prefer podcasts in the hour range. So I'm going to try and be one of those people, or at least a decent shot at it. So today, the topics that I want to cover, the first one is a perspective piece. So talking a little bit to expand our concept of age in this particular instance. Then during the middle segment, I'm going to be talking about a different version of spring cleaning. And that is something that can be done all year round, something I highly recommend. And it is purging. And I don't mean that in the bulimic type of way. We're not talking food, maybe some of the food in the cupboards, but I'm talking about the stuff that we hold in our lives. So we'll have a talk about that. And the end of the show, I'm going to be talking about progressive relaxation in a Body Divine segment, and finishing the very end with a 20-minute progressive relaxation meditation. Yes, I actually already recorded it, so I know it takes 20 minutes. But what I will remind you of at the end of the show, and what I will mention now, is that if you're not interested in listening to the meditation, there is nothing after it. So if I get into the meditation itself part and you're like, okay, I'm good, I'm done, just turn it on off and mark it as complete, because yeah, there's nothing going to be on after the meditation. So without further ado, I guess it's time to get into the big P, and I really want to change this intro, but I haven't had time yet and I still want to use it. So bear with me through my silly intro to the perspective segment. Thanks.
Open your mind,
your spirit,
your heart.
Soul.
Open your soul,
your heart,
spirit. Your mind. Open to the world around you and change your perspective.
And now it's time for the Big P.
So today I want to talk about the perspective of age and what happens to our perspective as we age. There is a lot of, I guess you could say, issues in the world surrounding age, particularly in modern Western society. I know that even 20 years ago when I was doing my degree in psychology, that ageism was a definite concern. I think things are changing now given that the baby boomers are hitting the you know, older segment of our population. So this massive group of go-getters are reaching that 50, 60 year old age. And so the perspective on how to handle aging within modern society is changing, I think, again. Mind you, it's still very different from what it was, I would say, 50 years, more years than that ago, when elders were respected. Within the pagan community, I often see it's like a weird dichotomy that goes on, where we want to respect our elders, that there is this notion of knowledge that people have from having been around for a long time. And certainly, you know, big name pagans who are around for ages have a certain amount of cash or respect. But there is also the other side of the coin, which is the young up and comer who has all this energy and all this drive and getting things done, and compared with the person who's been around for a long time and maybe has seen several cycles of people go through this whole, let's go out, let's do this, let's do that. I know I'm not necessarily marking these lines very cleanly. I just want to make the point that I've seen a lot of difficulties within the pagan community, or at least within my own pagan community and the mildly greater one around it, with regards to how people handle each other from different age groups. Just because you're old does not guarantee you respect. Just because you're young with a lot of energy and great ideas doesn't mean that elders are necessarily going to show you instant respect. I think what needs to remember there is that respect is ultimately earned and can be lost. It can be grown, but it is earned. It isn't something that you're automatically entitled to. Mind you, this is all an aside. It's just talking about the perspective of age puts me down that particular thought path again. What this segment started from was a discussion and I had with Firelight of Inciting a Riot, which started from a post he did on Witchvox and the responses that he, or one particular response he got to it. So very short, very fast, the history of how we get to me talking about this today was Firelight did a article, on Witchvox about just because a book is really old doesn't mean that it has a lot of worth. In and amongst the replies he got, one of them was from a woman who was, in my opinion, trying to get across a certain concept and didn't succeed at it, which was that she was arguing on the basis of just because it's old doesn't mean it's wrong either. So there was some additional discussion that Firelight had over this. He and I emailed a bit. He and Velma talked about it on, I believe, his show prior to them starting and setting a brouhaha. So that's kind of the trail of it. And what, and they did a lovely discussion, I should say, Velma and Firelight, in regards to what comment I'd said. And I just want to touch on it a little bit more from my perspective of what I was trying to get across in that situation. And if you didn't have any of the background and you don't care about it, you can now forget everything that I just said for the last 40 seconds. So the concept I want to talk about is that as we travel through time, our perspective changes. And this can be something that is really hard for someone who is, well, young, and I've been that person, to kind of accept. The best analogy that I think we've had is Holly came up with them. As we move through time, we change. You know, our bodies will change and ultimately our thinking changes. And the analogy that Holly had is that we're like whiskey or a fine wine. That as it ages, so as the whiskey ages or as the alcohol ages, there is a change within the actual, I guess, probably the chemical makeup of the alcohol itself. There's something in it that changes, that as the whiskey gets older, it generally gets better, right? It acquires a depth. I'm tempted to say resonance, but I don't drink whiskey, so I can't even say if that's the right word to use. But I've certainly witnessed how people will ooh and ah over like a 25-year-old whiskey, and they just get practically giddy at the thought of tasting it because it'll just be so much better than a younger version of whiskey. And what I think needs to be remembered, because if any of you are you know, going, that's not fair, just because you're aging doesn't mean you're better. That's true. It's very true. Age does not confer better. It confers different. So in the case of the whiskey, it can go off. You know, sometimes aging fails. You know, this is why when you open a bottle of wine, especially the special old wines, and that whole sniffing the cork type of deal and sniffing the wine in a faint taste, is also not just to go, yeah, that is fabulous. It's to make sure that the wine isn't off. I mean, this is my understanding of it. And I know someone who was at a restaurant, ordered a really expensive bottle of wine. They opened it and it was off. You know, in this case, age did not work favorably with that particular wine. It had gone to a bad place. So with age, as we as people age, we simply change. And it's not something that we do. It's something that happens just because we are traveling through time. Just like our bodies, as we travel through time, will change. And we can affect the type of changes that happen by our actions and by how we integrate what's going on within our own conceptual world. But the fact is, simply traveling through time does change who we are. And if you think about when, because this is a explicit podcast, so one assumes you're all over 18 or 19 or whatever the heck the age is supposed to be, that, you know, if you try and remember back to when you were 8 or 10, your mindset was very different. Now, and when you're at like 20, comparatively, you think very differently. And when you think about how you thought or how you reacted to things at the age of, say, 10, you look back and go, wow, I don't think like that anymore at all. Now, there's a big change there because of going through the developmental stages of childhood and then through adolescence. Those are some big developmental changes. So in essence, we expect there to be a change in how you think between 10 and 20, because you have gone through an entire, you know, growing up period with all of the attendant changes that go with it. What we don't necessarily seem to think about, what seems to often be in people's heads, is that, well, once you're an adult for life, and you're, you know, that's kind of it. You'll learn more and you'll do things, and you may change your mind on some stuff, but that those basic changes only seem to happen under 20, and once you're over 20, it doesn't change anymore. And I know that when I hit 30, I was like, wow, I think so much differently than I did at 20. I mean, not different in the way between 20 and 10 is between 30 and 20, but there were changes. I was different, and how I viewed the world was different. And you could say that that was built up all through experiences, but there is simply something, almost something very intangible that happens as you travel through time, almost as if the traveling through time adds weight or changes how we interpret things. I'm not phrasing it very well, because it's a very hard thing to kind of grasp hold of, because it is very subtle, and I don't think it's actually very large. It's just something that is a component of who we are. I just turned 40 a couple months ago, and there is, yes, a change now for me between 40 and 30 and how I view the world. Now, I've done a lot of shit in that last decade, so I would expect my viewpoint to change, but how I feel is different. I just am not, I'm not integrated into the world in the same way that I was. And one component of it, I do believe, is age related. And of course, this is something that I've had interesting talks with people about. There was someone that I used to know who went through a lot of really difficult experiences through childhood and was forced to grow up very fast. I actually know a couple of people who fall into this category, so I can make it nice in a broad kind of lump statement. And he had a really difficult time with this kind of concept, that there could be any difference afforded by age and not by, in other words, by time and not by experience, because of the weight of his experiences, he felt very old, and which I totally understand. But there were still aspects that were, it's funny, a lot of what we go through, for anyone who's gone through trauma as a child, it has a huge impact on how we develop and what our perspective is, and that whole lost childhood thing. And you know, you never see things the same way. You may never see security the same way. You may never see family the same way. You may never see innocence the same way. And it can give a very, not jaded perspective, but certainly a very cautious perspective on life, one that has been strongly infused by the experiences that the person has had. On the flip side, that the changes that we experience with aging still have impact. And I'm sorry for anyone who's listening and who's probably on the, you know, under 30 side and maybe feeling extremely offended by that statement. All I can say is give it a decade, think about it, and tell me if you can't see a difference or feel a difference between, you know, your age now and your age then and 10 years previously. There's something that does change. Now, like I said, it doesn't mean that it's better. It's just different. And I do find that it is something that we can take advantage of. If we are integrated and if we take the time to experience life in its little pieces. And you don't have to have really horrible, nasty experiences in order to change and grow as a person. Life will do that on its own. Just as, you know, our bones will start to weaken and our muscle tone will start to go unless you're really, really regimented about it. You know, we have things that happen to us as we age, like gray hair. These are things that simply happen. And we are still the same person, but we've been altered by the time that we have passed through. You have to wonder, you know, somebody who's in stasis, they wouldn't have anything going on to them, to their body or to their mind through the passage of time. And so, you know, there is something to be said for living and what the impact of living is on our perspective. Now, part of why I do consider this important is because there are so many arguments that can come up based upon age, where the person who's older doesn't feel that they're being respected by the younger person. The younger person feels that they're not being respected for what their experiences they have already had. All I can really do is advocate tolerance on both sides and for older people to recognize that younger people are living and exploring in their own way. But for the younger ones to realize that the people who have gone through more of life, things change. Another way that this came up, and why I actually consider this a topic to be discussed, is there are life things that we go through that kind of are affected by this passage of time. You know, how we view, well, I'm going to take relationships, you know, how we feel about the ending of a relationship when we're 20 versus 40 is going to be different. And it isn't necessarily based upon, you know, the experiences we had on breakups between those two ages. I mean, somebody could have gone from 20 to 40 and not had any other breakups, but they still would have had experiences that affect their viewpoint and how they handle it. And simply, I think there are natural things or experiences or mysteries that we incorporate into our psyche as time passes without even realizing it. And it is possible to deny those experiences. And that's when you get the very childish and immature person who's, you know, older. But for the normal person who's aging along, and, you know, they'll have that moment of the person who may be 25 and going and talking about some experience they're having. And if you're sitting there at 40 and going, oh yeah, okay, that type of experience. And that there's this aspect that isn't present yet in the 25-year-old's awareness, because they just haven't gotten to a point where that type of perspective can exist, because they haven't had enough years left yet of living. And I feel like I'm muddling this totally. So I'm going to kind of stop there. I'm not going to muddle it further. I'm just going to leave you with that thought of, you know, what kind of impact does living have on us and on our perspective, and how we see ourselves and the world around us, and how that changes, right, as we go forward through time. And that there is, and I believe there is a very interesting exercise to be had by evaluating yourself and reflecting on how you would have viewed a particular thing a decade earlier or 2 decades earlier. What's different? You know, how has that changed? And I would love to hear commentary back of whether or not you think I'm full of shit, or if you've had this experience as well, you know what I'm talking about. Again, I really, really, really don't want to at all imply any insult or denigration or anything of a negative nature towards, you know, people who are on the younger side of, you know, our lifespan kind of deal, because there isn't any. Just, you know, that would be like saying, I'd have to, looking down on somebody because they've never had the experience of going to the ocean. I mean, that would be just freaking daft. It's just a different set of experiences, and one that the other person hasn't got to yet, simply by the fact of age. And again, I do want to say that just because people have lived through a lot of years doesn't confer them with wisdom or any of the other lovely things we like to think age has given people. All I'm trying to suggest is that there is something in us that is changed by the passage of time, good or ill, you know, for our betterment, for our not so betterment, that it is there, that it affects who we are, and it affects how we view things, and that we give a little leeway on both sides of the coin. Okay, that is definitely enough of that. Send me your feedback as you will. I guess it's time for that regular statement of various and assorted location thingies. So for commenting, you can email me penniesinthewell@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the website at penniesinthewell.com. And now we're going to head into our musical break, and I have a real treat for you today. It is from Beloved, I think that's the group. It's comprised of vocalist Daniel Cooper and Tierra Lee. Tierra Lee is from Canal, and I was in email contact with him, and he sent me a couple of songs that I can play for you. And the big, big, big treat is that as a gift for everyone listening, I'm going to include in the show notes a link and actually I will tell you what it is now as well, a link to download the second song I'm going to play, which is called Centuries Fade. So he is giving that gift to all of you, so you can actually have your own copy of the song to listen to and enjoy. So I'm going to play 2 songs from the Beloved album. Let me just pull up what the second one was called, because I have no memory, and it's called Tree Song. So the first song, Tree Song, I'll play for you. The second song I'll play is The Centuries Fade, and that one you can go and download for free from web.web.me.com/TIERRO123/. There was no www on there. And that will definitely be in the show notes. So his gift to you, I hope you enjoy, and I will see you on the other side when we start to slip into the well.
a tree stand tall, even through the fire.
We shall overcome, warriors.
Warriors, warriors. We should stand at the edge of this time, watching centuries fade into the light. Walk now, beyond the fear of these times. Walk now, where so fire still burns. Walk now, beyond the darkness of the lies. Walk now, where the water still runs wild. And the people, they still care, they still care. Warriors, stand strong, we shall overcome. Warriors, stand strong. Warriors, warriors. But we should stand at the edge of this time, with our hands held high. In the hand crossing battle lines, turning wine into water.
Time for a little magical housekeeping.
And welcome back to episode 23 of Pennies in the Well. I hope you enjoyed those songs by Beloved. Go and download that copy of Centuries Fade and enjoy. And now we're into our main segment, which is also a magical housekeeping segment for the day. And the topic, as I mentioned earlier, is purging. So it fits well with the spring cleaning theme, but obviously it's something, well, at least in my opinion, it's something to be done regularly and frequently and to be evaluated and all that kind of stuff. So let's get into it. What I mean by purging is getting rid of the things in our lives that we do not have need for. The reason that this started being an important thing for me is that I come from a family of quasi-pack rats. Now, we have quite the range. My sister has married a Czechoslovakian man and has embraced a lifestyle of relatively few things, at least out and around in their environment. It doesn't hurt that they have two massive dogs, and so anything breakable that's on anything, well, would break. Many things have been lost over the years. And so she's very much encouraged not to keep a lot of stuff around. The other extreme is my brother, who is one step shy of being a hoarder, I tend to think. If you've ever seen the hoarding shows on TV, wow. I mean, this can be a pathological problem where people cannot let things go and they keep acquiring more things until the point where they have no floor and they can't move around. I don't watch a lot of them. I've had a lot of opportunity for TV over the last 5 months, and I did watch a couple of episodes, and I was so horrified that I'd rather not watch anything than watch that. But you would see examples of people who had so much stuff in their house that they couldn't walk from room to room. I mean, there was one I saw where the shallowest piles were like 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and this was through the entire apartment. Now, I would hope that none of you are in that type of boat. If you are, chances are you actually need to get some psychological help, or really start working on your own personal stuff in kind of a big way, stuff being kind of amusing in that instance. And the reason that I think this is a good topic for us is also because this is something that can affect us magically. It can be difficult to do because purging requires letting go of things that we've brought into our life and that we like to have around us. And most of us, I think, are somewhere in the middle, between my sister and my brother. You know, we have stuff. We have some decent portion of stuff in our environment. And how much stuff, of course, is going to depend on our personality, and it's going to depend on our circumstances financially and how much space we have, you know, and how many other people we have to share space with. Because all of those things can affect how much stuff is in there, and it's not just based upon our personal emotional state of mind. For instance, if you don't have money, it's harder to acquire as much stuff. Still possible, you know, garage sales, flea markets, you know, they offer a lot of opportunity. But, you know, it could be a little harder. If you're sharing space with someone, you know, it's not just your space to fill up, it's shared space, and so it could be a little harder. Of course, you know, I make a decent amount of money and I live alone, so for me, the impending threat is very real. Again, I'm not that bad, but I like pretty things. I like to look at things. I have a stone obsession that cannot be overcome. Okay, it can be, but I really do have a stone obsession. Just check out the last blog post, abysmalwitch.wordpress.com. I did a stoner report, and I'm going to do those regularly, showing off some of the pretties that I've acquired over the years. And, you know, being a witch has certainly upped my keeping stuff quotient, because I have a collection of small bottles, I have herbs, I have stones, I have books, I have candles, I have things to make all of these things, I have the things needed, the tools in order to have those things happen. You know, I've got candle holders galore. Things accumulate over time, and I think this is something that progresses as we go through life, depending on how good we are at handling it. Because, you know, you get gifts from people, and, you know, you buy the odd little thing for yourself, and if you never get rid of anything, over time that stuff's going to accumulate. Even if you do get rid of stuff, you may have found that you do have extra things kicking around. And what that can do to us, you know, not necessarily, but I know that for me, I got very uncomfortable. I had not as much living space, and that, you know, had to do with furniture in a lot of ways. My apartment's not that big, and just, you know, you throw in a full-size couch, and I got a treadmill, and there's a rocking chair and a cat scratching post, and I had a fish tank, which I got rid of after, you know, 8 or 9 years. I had a fish that wouldn't die, but that's a whole nother story. that's a story for another day. Anyhow, oh, I have quite the entertaining story. I have a miracle story for you. Okay, this is a total digression, I know, but it's a miracle of life story, so I'm going to share it anyways. The fish tank I gave away to friends of mine, and they took my fish as well and added them to their fish, and all the fish went back into my fish tank in their newly joint world. Now, when they took everything apart, I had this one figurine in the middle, like a big, large tree stump, and I had this one fish, an upside down catfish, and I did the, you know, there's a hole in the stump, make sure there's no fish in it, and he checked and didn't see him. So they put it in an empty bucket, and they took out all the other, you know, stuff in the tank and all the other fish, and then they emptied the water, and then we took it down to the car and they ran a few errands, and they got home, they started cleaning things up. Now, you can tell by all the stuff that I'm saying that there was a long period of time involved in this. We estimate, you know, over 2 hours went by between when that item came out of the fish tank and the moment of, oh my God, which is about to happen. So the stump-like object was put outside into the sun. It was covered in algae, so it needed to get cleaned off, and sun is a great antimicrobial agent. Kills off all kinds of things. If you ever want to sanitize something, leave it in bright sunlight. Kills everything. And that's according to my mother, the nurse. So it must be, you know, 80% true. Actually, I do believe it. It's a really good way to clean things like fish tanks or bird cages, things where you can't use harsh chemicals. You know, you clean it with water, maybe vinegar and water, rinse it really well, leave it out in the sunshine to kill off anything else that's remaining. Okay, double aside there. So coming back to the stump and the miracle of the fish, it had been sitting out in the sun for about 20 minutes, and then the woman started to scrub off the algae, and as she's doing that, out drops the catfish. You know, over 2 hours of being out of the water, it drops plop onto the ground, and she's like, oh my fucking God, it was in there this whole time, poor thing. And then it started to twitch. Damn thing wasn't dead. So she scooped it up and she tossed it into the existing fish tank that they still had up and running. And the damn thing swam to the bottom corner of the tank and then hid and, you know, wasn't sociable for a good week. It was too traumatized. But oh my God, miracle of life story. The damn catfish that would not die, you know. Wow. Anyway, coming back to purging. So my world got very crowded, and that is an emotional response. I'm not talking about, to some degree, it's, you know, we have kind of a common judgment on what we consider crowded in a room, but we also have personal tolerances. And I guess my personal tolerance dropped because I wanted a space that was simpler, more open, where the energy was freer to move around. And that required getting rid of things. Now, this is a process that started for me last year, and it's not easy. Letting go of stuff in our life, I mean, it represents our past. It represents all kinds of things, from birthdays, friendships, old relationships, past successes, perhaps past failures. All of these things can be represented in objects that we keep around as touchstones to our past. And letting go of that can be really, really difficult, but it can also be glorifyingly freeing, because what purging allows you to do is to make a conscious decision on what you want to keep in your life and what it's time to let go of. And it makes space for other things to come into your life. And it is interesting to me that, yes, I'm talking physical stuff, but I'm also talking the non-physical. The two are not as discrete as we like to always think of them as. So by creating more space within our world physically, we create more of a space also emotionally and mentally in our worlds. Or at least so I believe. I think it would be very difficult to do one without the other. Anyhow, so getting rid of stuff, though, is very difficult. You know, if it was easy, then you can, hey, if it's easy for you, enjoy. Go pack up stuff you don't want, ship it on out. And if you haven't done it before, it can be really, really hard. I will tell you, it gets easier with practice. You know, it started for me first with a closet because my clothes closet had too many clothes in it and there was no more room. There was no more room in the closet. So in order to you know, I wasn't allowed to buy any more clothes because there's no more room to put them. So in order to kind of, and I couldn't put things away properly. It was actually actively making things more difficult for me. Instead of being able to fold laundry and put it away and be done, it was fold laundry and then try and maneuver it in there. And that was a lot of wasted time and energy and a higher level of aggravation than I wanted in my life. So time to clean out those closets. I will say that part of the reason I have so much stuff in my closet is because of all the costumes that I have from, you know, my SEA days, plus, you know, that you throw in some pirate wear and some fairy gear and, well, it adds up. So it's not like it's all about day-to-day clothes. We're talking a lot of costumes here. My justification, I'm happy now. And then there was, you know, putting things that were less... So I took out things that I didn't wear at all to give away. And some of those I still couldn't let go of because I still remember, you know, I look at it and go, but I want to wear it. Forgetting conveniently that in the 3 years that I've owned it, I've never worn it once. But in my head, I'm like, it's a pretty piece of clothing. I'm going to wear it. So I wasn't ready to let go of everything yet. And some of it got given away. Some of it went into storage containers, especially the costumes underneath the bed, and just freed up space. And then I had to close my attic area upstairs, which had a bunch of storage in it. And that just cascaded me down the road of, holy crap, I have to get rid of things because I had an entire storage room that had to either be got rid of or incorporated into the rest of my living space. And so it forced a purge on me, which was useful in the sense of forcing me to do it, but not necessarily a way I would recommend to people. If you have the option of doing it in stages, do it that way. It's much better. Anyhow, since then, that made me feel very crowded in my space because I had a lot more stuff around. And so I just started going through and going, you know what? Books, if I've read you and I don't think I'm ever going to read you again, you're gone. You know, I don't need to keep every book that I own. And decorative items, you know, that may have been a lovely gift from so-and-so back when, but, you know, do I really enjoy it at this time? Do I have a place for it? No? Okay, it's got to go. I gave a lot of things off to, you know, Salvation Army and the SPCA thrift store, a couple other places, because ideally I didn't want to throw things out either. Just as a side note, I have a lot of, yeah, furniture and stuff in my world that have been hand-me-downs from various people for various reasons. And whenever possible, if something still has life in it, I'd like it to have more of that life before becoming part of the landfill. So that's my recycling rah-rah for this episode. Do try and pass it along because there is somebody who can probably and most likely will make use of that item. Anyhow, it can take several passes through a space to get it down to the level you actually want it at, to get rid of everything that you actually can get rid of. And it's a tricky business. Again, the question, one of the big questions to ask is, does it serve a current purpose? Does it fulfill a need that I need to have fulfilled? Can it be, you know, can that need be filled by something else? There are probably other questions you can ask, but those are good starting points. Are you holding on to something simply because someone else gave it to you? If the only reason you're holding on to something is because someone gave it to you and you don't want to offend them, this is a point where I think as pagans, it's time to, you know, pull on our adult shorts, you know, big girl panties, big boy panties, whatever you want to call them. And accept that, you know, just because someone gave us something, the moment of the giving is the one to be recognized and to be savored and to be enjoyed. And, you know, you may have loved the item when it gave it to you, and it may not serve the same purpose in your world a couple of years later. And it's okay to let things go. I tell you that now, and I mean it quite sincerely. It's okay to let things go. Now, yes, if you have, you know, a mother or a mother-in-law or, you know, some person in your life who's absolutely obsessive about seeing that the gift they gave you is prominently displayed in your world, you have another problem to deal with. you know, how, and that's about your relationship with that other person and how you want to handle it or not, as the case may be. But when it comes to the actual stuff, just because someone gave it to you does not mean you have to hold on to it until the end of time. They gave it to you because they thought you would enjoy it. If it is no longer giving you enjoyment, it's probably time to let it go. Yeah. And like I said, take several passes at it. I've had a couple passes through, you know, my initial closet purging. And I can tell you that each time I went through, it was easier to let things go. And, you know, that top that I had the, oh, but I really like it, I am going to wear it. If the third time round, and I said that each time, and I still hadn't actually worn it, bye-bye. You know, clearly I don't actually on a deeper level want to wear it. And the more you do this, the easier it gets until you reach a stage of going, no, I'm really happy with my environment, with what's around me. I feel good about everything I look at. I feel good about living in my space. And that's the reason to purge, is to get, well, one of them is to get your space to a place where you feel happy and comfortable to be in it, and you don't feel crowded or overwhelmed, to give yourself space. The other reason, of course, is about letting things go. There is a massive lesson to be had in purging about letting things go and about recognizing what you're keeping in your life. Pretty much every object that you have around, if it's not like, you know, a microwave or a fridge or TV, if you have one, if you have five TVs, you have TV issues and keeping issues about TVs. And the same goes for computers. I don't care how well networked you have them, unless you actually have a need to have them networked, you might just be a computer hoarder. I know multiples of you, so I recognize that this happens, but it pays to evaluate why you're keeping things. I keep a lot of stones because I also, not only do I have a stone fetish, but thankfully I also use stones heavily in magical workings. So there is an advantage for me on two levels. Well, there's with having stones. A good portion of what I have in my home has multiple purposes. It has a magical purpose and a mundane enjoyment to it. Probably one of the few exceptions is my green glass collection. I just happen to really love smooth, clear green glass. I think it's gorgeous. It also reminds me of my grandmother, because she collected green glass, and some of the pieces I have were ones that she had. So there's a double purpose to be had, but it's also the nature of things that they have these memories attached to them. And it's those memories that are good to work with and evaluate and either consciously retain or consciously release. And that's the joy of doing a conscious purge of your living space and going, do I want to have this around me or do I not? So I'm going to leave you with that thought of whether or not purging is something that you would want to do in your world. Do you feel that you have too much crap kicking around? Do you feel that your stuff controls you, or are you in control of your stuff? Which sounds like, you know, either a stupid question or, you know, one that doesn't really apply. I mean, how can your stuff control you? Well, if you can't bring yourself to let anything go, if there is nothing in your home that you feel can't go away from you, you might have a problem. I mean, there's exceptions to that, and I can see what they are. But think about it. If you have a lot of stuff in your home and you can't bring yourself to part with any of it, you may have some deeper issues going on. And by working consciously to try and remove stuff from your space, that can help you work through and discover what the underlying concerns are. And my guess is a lot of it, because I believe stuff is related to our past. Yeah, that's where it comes in. And I just mangled that last thought. So on that note, I'm going to end this segment, and we're going to take our final break before heading into the progressive relaxation. See you on the other side.
If you're looking for a periodic dose of magical ruckus, green witchery,
rants, and random observations about practical life in a sometimes impractical world. Tune in to Iron Powaka Radio. My name is Jillian, and I am your down-to-earth girl next door with the black cat and the wicked perspective. You can download Iron Powaka Radio from iTunes and through Podbean, or visit my website at ironpowaka.com. So step out of your own mind and spend a little time with the Iron Witch on Iron Powaka Radio.
Episode 23 of Pennies in the Well is brought to you by the tarot card, the Six of Swords, and the runestone, Hinar. And here we are at our final segment for the night, a Body Divine segment, which I will come up with a proper intro for, but the one that keeps coming to mind is... There you go, the intro for our Body Divine segment. Today, I want to talk about progressive relaxation. It can be a great tool for heading into meditation, can help you get prepared and into a trance state, can help you prior to working with ritual, also really good for helping you fall asleep. And it is also a really good way to get in touch with your body and to get practice at controlling the muscles of the body on an individual basis. Something that comes with practice is the ability to focus on and control individual muscles. And this can be useful in yoga, in breathing techniques, in a variety of different places. It shows, or should say demonstrates, a control over your body, or perhaps with your body. It shows that you have worked with your body and know it on perhaps a better level than someone who isn't used to working with it in that sense. Being able to break our body down into the individual pieces gives us a greater understanding of the whole. So progressive relaxation is simply a technique of going through muscle by muscle, step by step, body part by body part, and you take the body part, you tighten it, so you clench the muscles, involves like your toes. That's where we start with our toes. We clench the muscles of our toes, and you hold that tension, and you hold your muscles in a tightened position for a few seconds, and then you relax, and you release it entirely. And that forcing everything to go tense and then releasing it gives the muscles, I'm sure there's particular reasons why it works with the muscles, but it helps the muscles actually truly relax. You can also just use your conscious mind to relax your muscles and think your way through it and relax them, but that can be more difficult to do. It typically is more difficult to do because it is purely conscious control over your muscles. And that isn't necessarily where we start. We typically start with, mild conscious control over our muscles, not a lot, not a fully developed sense. And the progressive relaxation is another way to also get you that conscious control over your muscles, because they are used to operating individually for you at your command, at being both tense and relaxed at your command. So this is a technique that can further train you into a variety of places. And I'm doing it because I want to do some further exploration with body control and body connections, but we have to start people off somewhere. And this is a really good place to start that gives a really good solid grounding in working with the body. It's also a really fabulous feeling, at least in my personal opinion. It's a little time consuming. As I mentioned earlier, I did record prior to starting this podcast episode, the actual meditation itself, and it's 20 minutes. This is, you're investing time into yourself to do it because it is a very slow, methodical progression through your entire body. And if you take that time and you give yourself that gift, it can feel absolutely marvelous. So I think that's the, I think I'm good on the explanation. I think I'm good on the purposes. So it's just a matter of getting into it. As I said, I have it as a separate recording and I'm going to play it as the last part of the show today. So I came pretty close to being on top with the hour part. Just the meditation is going to take it out a bit longer. And we did the extra song earlier in the show. So I was close to my hour goal. I am proud of that. It's good to aim for goals. And again, there's nothing after the meditation. So that is useful on a variety of fronts. One, if you don't want to do it, there you go. Just, you know, when I say my farewell, we're done. And I hope you enjoyed. But if you're going to listen to it, then there's nothing that will come after it. So if this podcast is the only thing that you're listening to and there's nothing coming afterwards, it will go into pure silence and you can just enjoy the effect of going through it. And I guess that is about it. So I've already told you the variety of places you can find me. I always appreciate getting feedback. I hope that you are having a lovely month of May or whatever month it is you happen to listen to this in. And take care, and blessings of the deep and wild to you. Blessed be. Take a deep breath. Relax and release the air. Now is the time to set your intention, whether you wish to do a meditation at the end of this relaxation, a working, or if you are using it to head into sleep. With your intention set, take 3 long, slow breaths. With each inhalation, take in the energy around you. Imagine it, see it as a bright, clean, cleansing color. And as you breathe in, that color fills your body. And as you breathe out, all the cares, concerns, worries of the day leave your body. You may experience the color differently as it leaves your body. Continue to breathe in and out in a slow, relaxed pace. Now we're going to begin the relaxation, starting at the bottom and working our way to the top of the body. So first, I want you to tense all of your toes. Scrunch them as tight as you can. And then release. Feel how relaxed your toes are after you have released. Now, try and clench all of the muscles in your foot. Tighten them as hard as you can. Hold, and then release. Feel the relaxation flowing. You keep breathing slow, deep, and even. And now I want you to tighten the muscles at the back of your calves. Feel the back of your calves. Tighten those muscles as hard as you can. Hold and then release. Now tighten the muscles at the front of your calves. Maybe harder to feel, so pull up your toes in the front of your foot towards your calf and see if that helps. Tighten them and then relax. Now I want you to tighten everything from your knee down to the toes of your foot, all together. Tighten them, hold, and relax. Take a deep breath and release and feel how loose your muscles are from your knees down. Perhaps it almost feels like your limbs are starting to float. If so, that is natural, and just enjoy it. Now we're going to move farther up the leg by tightening the muscles on the front of your thigh, your quadricep muscles. Tighten them as hard as you can. Hold and then release. And now tighten the muscles along the back of your leg, down your hamstring. Tighten them, and release. Now feel the muscles on the inside of your leg. Tighten them. And hold and release. And again, we're going to tighten all of our legs now through all of the muscles that we have already worked through. So concentrate on all of your leg, tighten all of the muscles, hold. Keep holding, keep breathing, and then release. Feel how relaxed your legs are. If there is still any tension at some place in your legs, spend a moment and work through that muscle again. By tightening and releasing. Now we're going to move into the torso, and we're going to begin with our lower abs. So I want you to tighten your lower abs. Tighten them as hard as you can. Hold and release. And now we'll move to the butt muscles, your gluteus maximus. Tighten these muscles. They are the largest muscle in your body. Tighten them. Hold. Keep holding. And release. With each release, you want to feel your body further relaxing. And now we move back to the abdominal muscles. So now you want to do the middle of your stomach. Tighten those muscles. Tighten and hold. And release. And moving up slightly, tighten your upper abdominal muscles. Tighten right around your solar plexus. Feel all those muscles tense. And then release. Now let's move back to the back for a moment. Try and feel the muscles in your lower back. So right above from where your glutes end. try and clench those muscles to tighten them. And it may not be something you can feel right away, and that's okay. Just imagine that you're having an effect and it will happen. So tighten them and then release. And now let's work on the mid-back muscles. So tighten the muscles in the middle of your back. Tighten them and release. We're going to move farther up the back into where the shoulder blades are. So I want you to tighten your shoulder blades. And you can move your shoulders back to do this. So you want to feel as if you are pinching a ball between your shoulder blades. Tighten all those muscles as hard as you can. Hold and release. We're going to move back to the front of the torso. Into the upper chest area. So tighten the muscles in through your pecs, through your chest. Tighten them as hard as you can, and then release. We're going to move now into the shoulders. For many people, this is a seat of tension. So I want you to tighten your shoulders by lifting them up to your ears. Pull them up as hard as you can. Tighten them as hard as you can. And then release. If you need to, you can repeat the shoulders, either aiming slightly to the back. In fact, let's do that together. Lift your shoulders, but press towards the back a bit. Tighten and release. And now let's pull the shoulders up and forward slightly. Tighten as many muscles there as you can. And then release. Now we're going to try and tighten all of the torso area together, just as we did with the legs. So tighten all of your torso muscles. Make them as tight and tense as you can. Hold and release. Feel how relaxed your body is becoming. We'll move now to the arms. So take your hands and curl them into fists. And tighten your fingers in against each other as hard as you can. Tighten, tighten, hold, and release. Now try and feel the area around your wrist, the muscles around your wrist. Tighten them and release. Now you have already felt that through the forearms. Let's try and concentrate on the whole forearm area together. So tighten the entire forearm. Tighten it, tighten, and release. moving up the arm, want you to tighten your bicep, so the front of your arm. And it may be difficult to do just the bicep, but do try. If the tricep is also engaged, that's okay. So tighten and release. And now let's do the back of the arm, the tricep. So tighten that muscle at the back of your arm. Concentrate on it. Feel the tension in it. And then release. Now let's do the entire arm. So tighten everything in your arm, even upwards into your shoulder slightly. Tighten it, tighten, hold, and release. Now we're going to move up into the head and the neck. So first, let's move through the neck. Try and feel all the muscles around your neck. Tighten them all together. Tighten and release. Now I'm going to move up the back of the head. So try and engage the muscles that are at the back of your head on your scalp. Tighten them. Tighten and release. Moving to the front, tighten the muscles in your jaw. Clench your jaw. Hold it tight. Feel the tension increasing all the way up through the side of your jaw towards your ear. Tighten, hold, and release. Now tighten the muscles in your lips and your nose. Scrunch up your nose, scrunch up your lips. Tighten them, making a horrible face. And then release. Now the ears. Concentrate on your ears. Tighten the muscles in and around them. Increase the tension as hard as you can. Hold. Hold. And release. Now feel the muscles around your eyes. Scrunch up your eyes. Concentrate on engaging the muscles in your eyelids, below your eyes, above your eyes, to the outside and the inside of your eyes. Concentrate on feeling all of them tighten and hold and release. Next, raise your eyebrows. Lift your eyebrows and feel the muscles in your forehead. Tighten them and hold and release. Now finally, feel the top, the very top of your head, the one area we have not yet touched. Try and feel the muscle at the top of your head. Hold and tighten that muscle. And then release. Feel that release. slow down your body. We're going to tense all the muscles in the body, from your toes, through your ankles, calves and thighs, through your stomach muscles and your back muscles, your chest, your shoulders, your hands, your arms, through the neck, all of the small muscles of the face and the head. Tighten all of them together. Tighten them all. Feel every last bit of tension that remains in your body. Pull it into this. Tighten everything. And then release your breath and the tension together. If there are any remaining points of tension or soreness in your body, or some place, some body part that requires additional attention, spend a few minutes now working with that muscle or that area, tightening it and releasing it until you are fully relaxed. When you are done, take 3 cleansing deep breaths and relax. And know that you are ready to continue with your intention of meditation, ritual, or sleep.